All right, David Tassar here again, continuing on with the System Center Service Manager 2012 course on planning, deploying, and managing. And today, for this particular module, I'm joined by Chris Ross. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. What do you do? What kind of area are you working
in? Yeah. So I'm a managing consultant with a large consultancy called Catapult Systems. Mm-hmm. I go around and implement Service Manager for organizations of all sizes. Particular focus on the actual process piece of Service Manager. So, the ITIL foundation and mm-hmm. fundamentals there definitely comes into play. I'm also a Microsoft MVP and speaker at quite a few events. I run the user group for Service Manager in North America as well.
Okay, thanks. Well, I know that we have a few modules to cover here, change release management and service request.
Yes.
So we'll just kind of start going through them. Let's hit up the first one.
That sounds great.
So we're going to dig into change management first off.
Yeah, absolutely. So change management is one of the core fundamental pieces to Service Manager. It's integral to most organizations' IT operations, and quite frankly, in my opinion, has the biggest impact on really ensuring that process is held into account and done a certain way. But on top of that, the relationship that you see to other modules like incident management are greatly affected. When you have change in place, way fewer incidents are created. So it's really, it's about controlling what happens in the production environment and making sure that it happens at scheduled times, intervals, with the proper notifications and approvals that you would expect to see.
Mm-hmm.
So really, what I'd like to do is kind of take you through the change management module itself. We're going to hit just a few slides and then hop into the live demo. I'm going to show you how we set it up, configure, and run change process in Service Manager. So Service Manager really has quite a few process workflows that come out of the box with it. So when you look at change management in particular, we're targeting the baseline configurations. So anything that is a standard business service in our organization, we want to control with change requests. Change requests at that point get very deep into the relational aspect in the database, both the structure of the business services as well as the relationships to other CIs. And for anybody watching, if you don't know what a CI is a configuration item. It's basically anything that we manage in the database. So change management is very driven on CIs itself. The process that flows around change is very straightforward. We want to look at the configuration. We want to initiate the change appropriately, and we'll get into how we do that here shortly. We'll classify the change, take it through the standard approval processes that your organization utilizes, and that's a good point because Service Manager is ultimately customizable to how your organization works. So if standard change doesn't require an approval, no problem. It's flexible. We set the workflow up to do what it needs to do, and it does it consistently every time. So after the change is approved, that's when we step into the other phases, like developing and testing the change, releasing that change into production, which that ties directly into our next module, and as well as validating and review after the change has been implemented. So just real quick on change types, out of the box with Service Manager, there's a handful. There's about six or seven that come into play. Just know that these are all configurable. Basically, everything that we look at in change management can be configured or customized even to fit your organization's needs. So if you don't use security releases as a change process, that's absolutely fine. We can certainly remove that or rename that even to fit a process that does work within your organization. But certainly the base ITIL processes are covered, so standard, minor, major, emergency changes are all there. And we'll get in and actually configure these up, and I'll show you how they work. So the first step, like I mentioned, is really initiating and classifying the change. This needs to be done each and every time a change request is submitted. So a change request really is a request for change. So we're requesting. When we make that request, we're going through and ensuring that all the fields are properly filled out so that the business can make the best judgment on if this change is actually something that should go forward in the organization or possibly go to a different organization altogether within the company. So we'll look at initiating and classifying that and then how we go through and actually approve. Of course, the workflow module is ultimately very flexible within Service Manager. So if you need to suspend or resume a change request, we have those controls built in. And additionally, at the end of it, we need to have a process for actually looking at and determining whether our change was successful. So we'll hop into that as well. A few quick items of note. Closed change requests cannot be reopened. So process is that a change request goes through its cycle and it was successfully implemented or it failed. At that point, it's closed. That's absolutely fine, but we cannot reopen that, and that's against best practice. So keep that in mind when you're working through the change module itself. It's rigid for purpose. Mm-hmm. Additionally, you can add knowledge articles and approvals. You can add change reviewers on the fly or bake them into the templates. And notifications can happen out of the system automatically.
So one question, you said best practice. Is that the ITIL best practice that once a change notification is closed, it stays closed?
Well, it's both ITIL and MOF best practice.
ITIL and MOF best
practice. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So looking at the change management features a little bit further, we have many different types of activities, and we certainly need to cover these. Review and manual activities are out of the box, you know, the things that you would expect to see, but we have a wide variety of other activities that we can take advantage of, too. Things like parallel activities, dependent activities, and things like that. So when you get into change, understanding the activity types and how that fits to your process and how you orchestrate change management within your organization is paramount. Of course, the workflows are defined by our activities and based on templates, and we'll hop into all that shortly here as well. So standard change requests versus emergency change requests and everything in between, I mentioned this. It's there, it's out of the box. We're going to take a standard change, look at the process, and we'll compare and contrast that with how the emergency change process works, and I'll show you the options that you have to customize and configure that to fit your organization specifically. So the last two, major and minor, those are again out of the box. If those are the pieces that fall between, and that's part of the demo that we'll hop into right now, as a matter of fact. Okay, so if you haven't seen much of the Service Manager console, this is it right here. The Service Manager console is based navigation on the left-hand side. We start to work in the modules, which are actual process modules. And then within those modules, we have work items. So our center screen here has no work items right now. That's fine. We're going to go through and tweak up our process and then start to create some changes. We see off to the right, we have tasks. And our tasks really allow us to be flexible and publish. It's really pointed directly to the type of work item that we're looking at. So here, we're in change request. We can create a change request right off. We can even extend other tasks to help us in our change request process. So if there's, in particular, a PowerShell script or some type of other application that you use, we can embed that directly there and pass parameters through from the change request directly into that task itself. So let's hop in and look at the administration side of change request briefly. So change request is controlled by settings. And the settings, quite frankly, are very basic in change. We have the ability to change the type of ID prefix that comes with change out of the box. I find that most organizations are used to and really like having the CR prefix. That's absolutely fine. And as one of my previous slides earlier said, being able to save attachments and have that documentation for your changes inside the record is great. It should also be taken with a grain of salt. Everything that you save as an attachment, for instance, gets saved directly into the CMDB. And of course, we tend to retain changes for a lot longer than we do for instance, incidents. So in this case, we can have a lot of growth if people are attaching large files and things of that sort. But just note that going through and changing any of these settings is absolutely okay. And just keep in mind kind of the best practice approach of keeping it as small as humanly possible. So that's our change settings, very basic. Let's actually go in and look at our library, and we're going to pull up our templates. So the great thing with Service Manager is we have this filter feature. So I can start typing change, and it will really filter down the list that's returned to a workable amount. So in this case, we see those same changes that I kind of highlighted in the slide deck. Standard, minor, major, emergency, and the like. The template is really what controls the workflow on the back end. So if let's go ahead and open up the change request. And we're prompted just with a quick window here to verify we can change the name of this if we like. So we'll keep it the same for right now. We'll take it full screen. So here's our base change template. We see that we've got the title filled in already, standard change request. You know, kind of common practice is keeping the title there, but allowing the end users to go through and when they're creating the change, be a little bit more specific. So something like exchange, RFC, maybe something that you see common in the organization. You want to publish that out and have that available. Absolutely fine to do so.
So when you save that with the new name, is that going to create a new template then at that point?
It does not. So I'm in the base template.
Okay.
What I could have done, and just to flip back to the main screen here real quick, with this highlighted, I could choose duplicate as a task.
Okay.
So duplicate is going to make an exact copy of the standard change and allow me to append the name.
So, I mean, would that be maybe a good best practice to leave the default templates there as base?
Yeah.
And then that way duplicate to customize?
Or? Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. So let's walk through that exercise real quick just to show kind of real world best practice. So I'm just going to close it, not save my changes. We'll duplicate this. Notice that we're prompted to save this into a management pack.
Mm-hmm.
So the management packs, in this case, I'll say demo change. The management
demo change?
Yeah, the management pack name is just the name of the XML file that's created that stores the customizations. So we'll go ahead and save that. And then in a moment here, we'll have a new change request that's a duplicate of our standard. So here it is, standard change request copy. We can now come in and rename this. I'll say AD, so something basic like that.
What do you see a lot of folks, I mean, because the templates tie into people making these requests.
Yeah.
What do you tend to see people categorizing them by? I mean, obviously there's the base ones
mm-hmm.
on major, minor, those kinds of things. I mean, I know that you can customize even within those forms too on what they specify, right? So
correct.
What kinds of ways do you see people doing that?
You know, I think the most basic way just up front is developing a strong naming convention for your templates. That's the most user-friendly way.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly you can customize and do, you know, things above and beyond, but I think, you know, as a first foray into this for a company or someone who's just learning it, note that, you know, a naming convention like RFC-001 even, how about 001, is a good way for people to catalog and organize and start to group their change requests together in a logical order. And quite frankly, most companies, you know, hand out a library, you know, an Excel file that people can use as a quick reference, and this facilitates kind of getting to the right spot, having all those parameters set up ahead of time with very little effort. So here's our RFC-001. I'll change that in the name when we're done, so I'll show you how we actually pick that when we develop it. The description here is, let's just add an AD change. Description. Certainly the person who's developing the change request is probably going to fill out the description, the reason, and some fields like that, their own. But where this is a standard change request, we definitely want to have a process in place ahead of time that you can't have a standard change, for instance, in an organization until it's been approved by the organization that it is indeed, for instance, a low risk, low impact type change to the organization itself. So here in this case, we can put some details like justified by CRB or CAB, whatever you want to call it, and certain date.
CRB CAB?
CRB Change Review Board or
okay.
CAB Change Approval Board.
Okay.
So typically, you know, when you take a standard change for the first time and you say, you know what, we do this all the time, let's streamline our process, the CAB, the CRB needs to look at that and say, yes, indeed, we do this all the time. It is low risk and we trust you with it. So let's template it and make your process easier.
Okay.
4, 10, 13. So the reason we'll leave blank in the template here, we can also come through and fill out areas. So, of course, as an AD permission change, that could certainly go under security. It could certainly go under infrastructure. The great thing is we can configure these based on your organization. So if your organization is strict on anything that's a permission change, needs to go under security, access control, great, you're good to go out of the box.
And those are all out of the box areas
absolutely.
That you specified there.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And where do you go if you need to customize that?
I'll take you into the list section.
Yeah, okay, I'm preempting that.
That's
okay. Hey, I'm ahead of myself.
So here we'll go ahead and set our priority impact and risk, and we'll say priority is possibly a low, our impact, you know, maybe a minor in this case because we're doing a permission change. And risk, we know it's a low risk because we're not doing anything too complex. The great thing is we can come in and at this point pre-choose configuration items or business services that we would like to impact with this type of a change. So if I were to go in and say add, give me just a moment to flip down to my business services. This is a picker. This is our CI picker, and it's quite extensive. So the library that's held in the database of CIs, I mean, you can tell by the sheer size of the...
there's a lot there.
There is a lot here. So, you know, if we start defining something like a business service, I have none in this environment. I'll use computer as an example. So if we choose computer, here we've got, a list of all the computers in the environment. So I know my domain controller is in here, and I'm sure it's probably something with DC in the title, thankfully for me. I'll go ahead and choose that, add that as the selected object, OK it in. Now every time this change is enacted, it's going to make that relationship to that CI. So that gives exposure and clarity and the valuable information that the business really needs to be informed on what's actually happening in the environment.
Yeah, change is happening to that specific machine when that service request gets initiated.
Absolutely. So we can look at our planning tab now. The great thing is, in the planning tab, we're probably not going to fill out the scheduled start and end date because unless we use Orchestrator or something else like that to be very dynamic with how that's determined. But the implementation, risk, test, and backout plans, which are all visible on the form here itself, are the fields that really need to be presented to the change review board so that they can make the best judgment on this, especially ahead of time, before it becomes a standard change. So in here, we've developed these, we'll fill them in, detail. And that can also be communicated out to the change board in email, utilized really anywhere along the way.
And I'm sure you could pre-fill in or customize and pre-fill in some templates for the form itself if people needed to fill out some
for
fields.
For types?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So again, that's a bit of a customization, but the sky's the limit. The platform is open
totally
by default,
open
by design, so completely easy. So in this process, out of the box, our change request comes with a review activity and a manual activity. The review activity, so this is our activity pane, and it's pretty dynamic. We can flip the views to this. We can see our review activity a little bit better in this view because I can read actually what's happening here. And then when we come in and we double-click on the item itself, it's going to open up the activity there itself. Here, this activity approve change request. I could add some additional information, AD perm change, a detailed description, or even bring data in from the parent change request itself. So the description from the change, we could populate here as well through Orchestrator or through workflow in general. Mm-hmm. The stage itself can be preset to the approved stage so that we can track where our changes are at and what stage they're in. And then the condition approvals are quite dynamic as well. We have automatic, percentage, and unanimous. In this case, where it's a standard change, I may just want my manager to know. And that's really great because that utilizes the built-in connector to Active Directory to pull the relationship to who the change creator is and who their manager is. Mm-hmm. So we can keep this as unanimous, keep the line manager should review there, and we should be good to go. So at this point, we can go ahead and okay that activity, that save that back. Here we see the updated activity, and then we'll look at the manual activity below. So this is really where I wanted to get into and talk about all the different types of activities. So manual activity, very straightforward. You're going to go deploy this change. It's an ACLE change to an AD group, no big deal. You know how to do that. I could certainly provide detailed description here of the steps that you would need to take to implement that, set a priority, throw the stage in. You know, this is more like a release type activity here. And then a scheduled start and end date, which, you know, again, the platform being open, this is a common area for integration with the Orchestrator for us to, you know, number one, find out if somebody's in the office, number two, put it on their Outlook calendar or even publish it out to a SharePoint calendar so we can really start to get a feel for all the changes that are happening and when they're happening in our environment. Of course, I've got the same option for impacted configuration items. So where I selected the domain controller earlier, I'll choose the same one here. I'll give this.
So these objects that you're specifying, things that are being changed to, assuming there's a central place to go to the object to see the list of changes that have been performed against the object, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I could have actually done that right in the form itself. So I've got my domain controller listed. I can open up the object directly here, and that's going to pull my domain controller. I can go through and see the related items, everything mm-hmm. that's being added out there. We're still on the template side, but very easy and straightforward on how to transition and pull up the data that you need when you need it. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and commit this guy again. So our change request in this case, very straightforward. This is what I see probably 9 out of 10 people in the in businesses when I'm consulting. This is how they're setting it up for a standard change. Very straightforward. A few tabs that we're not going to hit in the template, but we will when we actually get into the change. Results, related items, history. And then I actually have a template side here where I can go and set the default status to a change. I can certainly go through and we'll get rid of that. Change the category itself. But this is part of the change control. So if you notice up top, we see the template ID, standard change request, category standard. This is my category. This is what's driving that information up top. This is a control mechanism so that, let's say, somebody tried to skirt the change process and they wanted to make something that was templated as an emergency change or a significant change into a standard. We can catch that. So we know where they came from and the history behind it. And then, of course, our history is the true audit path within change itself. And we can pull all those details up. So very straightforward. If I wanted to in my environment, I could assign this out to an individual technician who will be actually, controlling this change going forward. And I could have done the same on the activity side as well within the apply. So if I know that myself is going to be the one who's always implementing this.
Or it could be a distribution list, perhaps, of a team of folks who manage your security permissions type
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. So that they can delegate it to the proper individual. Yeah, very flexible either way. So we'll go ahead and, at this point, we've got our template pretty well set. Let's go ahead and save this. Great. So that's saved. So let's go ahead and real quick, to your point earlier, I want to show you the library and lists where we actually go and configure those options for the drop-down areas. So, you know, again, I can use the filter here to get exactly the items around change. I'll go ahead and just sort this by title, by name. And here is the list property that we looked at earlier for change area. Specifically, we chose that security access control. So if I wanted to take and say access control and just add the word change to the end, for instance, no problem. When we go to open up our standard change request, we'll see that that's actually taken effect, and it's pretty immediate within the system and within reporting as well.
Very nice. Okay. Well, yeah, that's a great amount of info on change requests.
Great.
I think that can help people get started.
Excellent.
All right. Well, that's it for this module, and we're going to go to the next one now.